By the way, it's a good initiative, the praying for one another. I'm delighted to hear these testimonies, specifically from, where is he, Jason? Oh, is Jason still here? Oh, he's out. It just shows sometimes the simplicity of prayer, where two or three agree on something on earth. The promise is it will be done by my Father in heaven. And so if you've pulled my name last Sunday, so I pray for God to bring you under conviction. So we've pulled six people, and be assured we've prayed for all of you every single day, and we'll continue to do that. But there's something about that praying for one another, because the revival in the church starts with that God first reviving us individually, and then we can share this amongst each other. I want to, before we even start, I want to tell a joke, if that's okay. So I have to, there's something you have to understand about this. It's like there is this, no matter where I go in the office, in the church, wherever, I always hear Germans are not funny. Right? So, but I've built a reputation over the years where they say you're not a typical German. So I want to keep in that spirit. So let's start with the funny. So one Sunday morning, a mother went in to wake her son to tell him that it was time to get ready for church, to which he replied, "I'm not going today." "Why not?" she asked. "I'll give you two good reasons. First, they don't like me there. Second, I don't like them." His mother replied, "I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. One, you are 54 years old, and second, you are the pastor." Okay, here's another one. I thought that was funny as well. A priest, a rabbi, and a minister decide to see who is best at his job. The test is to go into the woods, find a bear, and to convert it. After they are done, the priest says, "I read to the bear from the catechism, sprinkled him with holy water, and next week is his first communion." The minister said, "I found a bear by the stream, preached the gospel to him, and he let me baptize him in the river." The rabbi was bandaged from head to foot and said, "Looking back, maybe I shouldn't have started with the circumcision." Right. Right. Now that the ice is broken, so. All right. Good. So, actually, let me just drink another sip here. I'm excusing my throat is very dry. I've been battling a very, very strong cold over the last week, specifically last weekend, and didn't really get the chance to fully rest and recover. So I just pray for God to really bless my voice and give me the right words. And before I start, yesterday I was just reflecting and meditating. I was walking after the what they call the storm had passed, and so just been thinking about it. I'm walking with the Lord for maybe 12, 13 years now, and I don't consider that to be much compared to a lot of people. First in the Bible, some people living up to 120, some people living up to 900 years. And walked all of their lives with God. Imagine the level of maturity, the level of experience you have with God if you walk faithful with Him over such a long period of time. And one of the things the Lord really put on my heart, specifically regards to teaching and preaching, is that when we are young and we minister the Word, we have to be so careful at times. And I heard once a preacher say that if you minister the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, make sure you wear the gloves of grace. And because everyone who's, the people you're ministering to, they're precious people, they have a story, they have a testimony, they might go through trials and temptations, or they have difficulties in their lives that you might not be aware of. So it's so important to be so sensitive that when you put something together or when you start to speak to people, that what you're saying really comes from the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows everyone inside out. He loves everyone inside out. And He's the one who can take that which is spoken and make it like an up-to-date word a reality to the hearts of those who listen. Amen. And the first scripture and by the way, the other thing is the Lord also, this is funny. So having said that, at the same time, I also believe that there's one thing where we need to be careful what we deliver, and the word is sensitive, but there's also something here where the Lord has been really putting, what the Lord has been putting on my heart is that he said that we also need to understand that that's the message that is being brought forward is backed up by my power. Because the words in itself, they are empty, but it's the power of God. It's the power unto salvation, right? For those who believe in it. And I really want to touch on some of these things this morning and hope, you know, that we'll have a good time. Joshua, would you put up the first verse? Step gave me and said to me, I can speak on whatever I want to speak this morning. It would be good if I can tie it into Exodus. So I've been trying to do that. I will do that. But, you know, be expectant, be open. Now, this is from Psalm 105, verse 37. He also brought them, speaking about Israel, out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Some other translation would replace the word feeble with the word sick or weak. So he also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none sick or none weak person among his tribes, specifically talking about the night of the Exodus. And I believe that the Lord is really speaking to us, wanting us to reconsider and reposition our hearts in the way that we listen to the word of God and the way that we give ourselves to the study of the scripture. Actually, in Psalm 107 and 20, it says that he sent his word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. Now, I've been in many meetings. I've been to these sort of impartation conferences. I believe in the laying on of hands, specifically related to healing or the releasing of the gifts of the Spirit. But you don't have to have someone to come in a personal, intimate way, lay hands on you in order to receive from God. Because many times in Scripture, the Holy Spirit fell on people as they were listening, as the word came forth. It even says that on the day of Pentecost, as Peter preached, it was like a knife cutting deep to the heart, and more than 3,000 people got converted. There is no greater force but the message of the gospel or any other truth conveyed in scripture that's being delivered and spoken when it is backed up by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, my words are spirit and life in John 6:63. The words are spirit and life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And sometimes it's almost like word containerize, a power that when it's being delivered in the right way, they touch people's minds and challenging unhealthy patterns, bringing something to the surface. I once heard someone say that God often offends the mind to reveal what's in the heart. And the word is so powerful that it doesn't only cut and divide between that which is in the soul and that which is spiritual, but it even has the ability to bring life to our very bodies. This is important. Now, Hebrews 4:12 also says that the word was preached to them, but it did not benefit all. There were some to them it benefited. There were others to them there was no profit because they didn't mix it with faith. And I think that the challenge is, or that the invitation, let's word it like that, the invitation is for the heart, for faith, which everyone has, because God has given all of us faith, to be applied as we listen. You know, think about the story of Exodus. This is what we've been starting to look at. This is what we're starting to listen to. And we've had some amazing preachings about that. But here's the thing that I felt really challenged and stirred in my heart. The Lord almost said to me, like, when you look into Exodus, when you listen to that, when you come here week by week, you have to have a different level of expectation. You have to look through a prophetic lens into the book with hindsight to the cross and to the redemptive work of Christ. Because that the redemption of Israel in the Old Testament is a type and shadow of a superior redemption brought to us in the new covenant in Christ. The word Exodus simply means to journey or to transition, or it means for people to come out of something. It's like the coming out of something and the breaking into something new. Isaiah 53, 4-5 describes the suffering of the Messiah. And we have a very descriptive image that we can see and study what is all the things that are in there, and it's so deep. But it even says that, you know, the Lord, or it even says that Jesus had carried our pains, he carried our sins, and he carried our sicknesses so that we could be healed through the stripes of Jesus. He also said that he bore the chastisement for our peace. The chastisement for our peace was laid upon him. Now the word peace here, if you look at it in more detail, is the same word where the Jews get their word shalom from. It means shalom. But the word shalom is not just a greeting. It's so rich and thick in meaning because it entails the entire breadth of the blessing of God. It can mean the light, the favor, the health, the blessing, the prosperity of God. And we ought not to underestimate the blessings that he has provided for us the moment he called us out of our old life into Christ. Think about it. God, the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, do not forget all of his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals you of all your diseases, who delivers your life from destruction, who satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles, and who crowns you with loving kindness. What about if the Holy Spirit would have woken you up this morning and said, you have permission to be delivered? What if he would say you have permission to be helped? What if he just wants to show you a glance of his goodness and that you know that he's in control and there's nothing that can stop him from working in your life? God brought them out with silver and gold. They didn't leave empty. He provided for them. And he brought them out. He gave them a strength. Do you want to pull up the next verse, please? That's Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy. Don't never really understand how you guys call it. We call it the fifth book of Moses. So 8:2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Last Sunday, I had a Skype call with with Robert Mertz. They call him Uncle Robert, or Moira calls him. It's because he's her uncle. I just called him Robert, and you know, we had a good time, but you know, he just shared a little bit from his heart, and one of the phrases that stuck with me was just simply, he said, between the call and the commission, there is the testing. And it reminded me of one of the words that I've shared a year ago or so, where I said that I almost felt that we are in a season where the Lord is, through the Holy Spirit and through the Word, revealing things in our hearts that he wants to deal with. And the reason for that is because we have prayed for certain things. We have asked him for promises. We have asked him to promote us. Or we have asked him to put us into an assignment, because we started to understand the purpose for our lives that we can, or that he wants to, that he has a plan that he wants to fulfill. But there's things that would hinder us unless he deals with them. And the thing that you don't want to happen is that when the time comes for him to move you, you don't want to be not ready, but you want to be ready. You don't want him to find you sleeping when he calls you. So let him deal with the things in your heart, right? But then I also felt that the Lord said to some, there are some here, you are being released. You are about to be released into something new, into a new assignment. You have stood the ground. You have passed the test. But the funny thing, the paradoxic thing is you don't even know that you are standing at the edge of the desert, almost coming out of something into something new. And the reason for that is because the growth always happens in the invisible. And it had to take some time because we needed to learn to be humble. But there will be signs of his Spirit released through the mouths of people who will come to recognize you in a new light. Because once you get humble, that causes people to recognize you for who you really are. So there are some here, let the Lord deal with you, but there are some here, the Lord is going to call you, and you're about to step into something new. You have passed the test, and that's an encouraging thing. Think about in the Bible, the number 40 represents the number of testing, but also the number of the number of preparation. What did you have? You had the 40 years of Israel, but you also had the 40 days and nights of Noah in the ark. And then you had the 40 nights of days and nights of Jesus fasting in the wilderness. Now it's clear from the gospel that before Jesus went into the wilderness, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. But after he encountered temptation and stood the test, he came out of the wilderness, and it says he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's something precious about being in the time of testing where you learn to get to know an authority that can only come through the practice of overcoming. No other way. And you can only deliver people from the things that you've been delivered from. So don't underestimate that season that you are in, because you might feel you get stuck, but learn to be obedient to his voice and to his spirit, because what he's putting in you is an authority that you need in order to do that which he's called you to do and that which you've been asking him to put you into. So it says that he tested their hearts to see whether they would listen to his word. Hebrews 3:15 says, today when you hear his word, or when you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the days of the rebellion. So focus on your present assignment. What is it, Lord, God is giving you right now? What is it that he has given you today? That's something you have to do with passion, but you have to give yourself to. The other thing is develop, have a devotion to the word of God. There's a big difference between reading the scripture and having a devotion to the word. Because when you have a devotion to the word, you consider the word of God to be alive. Every decision you make, does it line up with his will? Does it line up with what the scripture tells me? Plus, there are sometimes people that are so eager to receive a new word from God. I need a new prophetic word. I need to go to this conference. I need to go to this meeting. I need to listen to him. I need to listen to her. But you know what? Very often, the Lord is not going to release anything unless you fulfill that which he's given you in the now. But there's also an encouragement in here, because one of the things is that if you don't have a word, you just ask him, and he'll show you exactly what he wants you to do. So you do that, and then you start to obey the promptings of his spirit, right? And you get a devotion to the word. Now, falling to do so will cause your heart to harden. It will grow dull. It will become desensitized to him. There is a scripture, and I just want to touch on that quickly. I'm not going to show it. I'm going to read it. It's also from Exodus. Exodus 3, 2 to 3 has to do with the burning bush experience of Moses. This is what it says. Listen to that. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Moses, in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Notice the response of Moses is not to the bush burning, but to the bush not being consumed. There are different ways, there are different theories as to why this happens. I heard people say that, well, you know, obviously Moses was in the back of the desert. Maybe there were other shepherds or other desert dwellers that have lit a campfire, and he just thought of, like, from a distance, that's just a fire. But then there is an even more interesting theory about a plant or a tree called the Dictamnus albus, which is a tree common in that region that releases a petroleum-like gas and can be set on fire through heat from the sun. Either or, let's assume a natural cause could have set that bush on fire. The miracle was not that the bush was on fire. That might have been something that he would have been used to, but the miracle was in that the bush was not consumed. And so many times the Lord is at work in and around us, and we don't see it because all we see is what we see with our natural eyes. But Paul says in Ephesians 1, 16, 17 that, oh God, may the spirit of wisdom and revelation enlighten the eyes of my heart, the eyes of my understanding, that I may understand the things, the excellencies concerning Christ. I mean, God caused you to be born again. He didn't give you a blind spirit. He gave you a spirit that can see. You have perception. You have the ability to understand the spiritual things. Even Jesus said to his disciples, to you it has been given to know all the mysteries of the kingdom. But what needs to happen is the process of enlightening. The eyes now that are open need to be enlightened. How does it happen? It happens by giving yourself to the truth of His Spirit, the truth of His Word. Think about Moses could have walked by not being sensitive and have missed what God wanted him to do. Just one moment, but it could have impacted the destiny of a whole nation. This is how serious it gets when we treat God. Now, where did he learn to be sensitive to the things of God, the things of the Spirit, to the word of the Lord? Was it in the palace or was it in the back of the desert? The back of the desert? Who else spent time in the Old Testament as shepherding the flock? David, the man after God's own heart. And is it possible that we can see the Christ in both of them, Moses and David, who reveals himself in the New Testament as the shepherd of the sheep? And what does he say? My sheep, they know my voice. They hear and they follow me. So obedience is key, and it's linked to worship, to know him. In a moment, just going through one or two more verses, and I just have a sort of a benediction. The Lord really put a word on my heart I want to release and share with all of you. If that's okay, Laura, you could just start to maybe play the piano or something in the background. But first of all, there's an encouragement here in this particular scripture. Look what it says. You shall remember that the Lord your God, he led you all the way. Did you know that God is so committed to fulfill his purposes in you that he's never leaving you? He's not going to forsake you. He's so faithful, even then when we are not faithful. You know, once, and this is probably one of the things that impacted me so much, because I've came, like many of you know, to encounter the weakness of my own flesh. But once the Holy Spirit said to me, even in your darkest moment, I was there with you, and I said, I love you, and I'm already working on the way out. There's hope for those who have maybe not yet fulfilled the call. Why? Because the call of God is without repentance. So you can pick it up again, you can move on. And those who feel stuck, there's hope for you as well. The leading of the Holy Spirit is so complete that it doesn't just cover the big crossroads of our lives, like when we need to pray for a house and we need to pray what is the next big job or something. But he's so intimately involved. It's tremendous the wisdom that he has for everyday life. I remember not too long ago driving with Stephen on the way to play football, and I shared my heart what an amount of difficult decisions I have to make concerning situations in my workplace. And the answer Steps gave me was like, what a wonderful opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, the presence of God not leave them, even while they were in disobedience. Yes, he dealt with their generations. He dealt with the idols in their hearts and their lives. But God is faithful today. I'm going to say something now, and I want you to just receive that by faith. I want you to apply your heart by faith now to what I'm going to say. There are some phrases that might stick out. You feel them highlighted. That's because the Holy Spirit is going to minister them to you. My faith is, or I believe, that he's going to release some answers to specific, very specific things. And you will coming here and saying, this is exactly what I've been looking for. But what I want us to challenge, the challenge for us is, I want us to believe that the kingdom is now, that it is real. Because when Jesus said that the kingdom is within reach, he gave us an illustration that it's never further away than a few inches, which means that by faith you can lay hold of it. So receive that. If you want to close your eyes or keep them open, that's up to you. My child, do not think for one minute that I have abandoned you. In fact, I am closer than you think. Darkness is never a sign of my absence, but it is the presence of my shadow. I am close. I never created a failure or made something that didn't turn out. Don't believe the lie that it is not my will for you to prosper and be in health, but allow the word to settle this in your heart once and for all. I am committed to your victory, and I am committed to your success. Right now you can feel my presence, and it feels good, and it is increasing as you listen. Yet in the back of your mind, you're already getting anxious about the days and the hours to come. What about this health issue, you ask? Or what about this financial struggle, the addiction? And what about all of these difficult and pressurizing situations I'm about to face as I leave? Isn't it true? My child, do you not know that I have assigned mercy and goodness to follow you all the moments of your life, not just here and now? I have your back covered, and your future is secure in me. I have already released answers and solutions and found a way that you cannot yet see. I specialize in deliverance and in moving mountains. I am a master in untangling complex problems and situations. My love cleanses you from the uncomfortable things that so easily stick to you. Allow me to lead you and be at peace. And regards all of these decisions that are required of you, how about we consult together and ensure that they are governed by my wisdom? You are not alone in this. Son, daughter, let's make an agreement. What if the next week ahead would turn out to be one of the best ones you ever had? I'm giving you permission to rest while I take on your enemies. All I expect from you is that you turn your eyes away from the things that distract you. You know the things I'm talking about, those little foxes. Be intentional about me and treat me like you would your best friend. And now watch this. Right now, in this very moment, I am giving you a new strength and a new confidence, whether you feel it or not. If you have faith, it is yours, I guarantee. Know that it is my pleasure to see you walking with your head lifted high. And because I am victorious, I want you to be victorious. So I'm giving you authority over all the fear in your life. Trust me and experience that I am with you in the days to come. Amen.
Now, we want to thank you. There are no coincidences, but God incidences. Father, I pray that if any of us heard something this morning that has resonated in our heart, that we would mix that with faith, that it really is your speaking, and we'll lay hold of it. Sometimes it's good just to tell somebody what it was that specifically spoke into your life. It's a good exercise to do that. And Lord, if any of us experienced, even as the service was proceeding, even as Andre was literally speaking or elsewhere, that there was a stirring in your heart, if there was a coming upon you, to mix it with faith, that you can walk into an element or a degree of healing or freedom or deliverance that you need. I feel the Lord, you want these messages from Exodus to be more than just messages. You want these messages to transform our lives and our hearts. Let's be expectant. And finally, Lord, if there's anyone who's afraid today because of they're facing a change or a transition in their lives, we want to acknowledge your hand in that, that you do all things well. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of transformation. Don't be afraid of transition. Lord, you are a good God, and you will complete what you've started, Father. So we just want to thank you for your presence with us today, and we want to thank you for those who've contributed to this service. We want to thank you for the message we've heard. And we want to thank you most of all, Lord, that you would condescend to speak with us, your people. And we thank you in the name that's more excellent than any name, the name of Jesus. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God as a Father, and the dealing and the communion and the fellowship and the continued working of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and the rest of the day and forever. Amen.